4:58 from the Alamo Draft House in Lake Highlands, where we invite you to join us tonight, and Corby in particular, for Cocaine Bear, coming up at 7 or so. Get tickets at drafthouse.com. And this is an awesome place, even if you're not going to the movies. Just kind of hang out, have a nice beverage, and, I don't know, watch AM radio live.
Yeah, let's go.
But right now, we should stop down as the rant revival happens with this.
Entertainment news for you.
Which is brought to you by
Window Nation and All Pro Foundation Repair.
We say hello to Gordon. Yes. And we welcome in Dave.
Dave.
Hello.
Who is the vice mate?
That's right. I'm the afternoon Vice Gordon.
I heard that. The Vice me.
I'll take it. So today, Harvey Weinstein was sentenced in L.A. for his most recent rape trial.
Rape!
So if
Corbin's
you...
very sad about this.
That's probably a red flag if you ever have to distinguish.
Have you paid enough, man?
His most recent rape trial.
Yeah,
gotta
so,
make great films.
So if you will recall...
Thanks, buddy.
In December, he was convicted in L.A. The jury found Weinstein guilty of 3 counts related to accuser known as Jane Doe Number 1. And those 3 counts were forcible rape, forcible oral copulation, and...
Compilation? So they compiled something.
Copulation.
That's to do with the police.
I hate you.
And sexual penetration by a foreign object.
Sex crimes.
Really? He imported something.
Yes.
And him. And you have to be looking at him while it's happening.
And in that L.A. trial, the jury found him not guilty.
I believe that's unguilty.
Unguilty. In the charges associated with Jane Doe Number 2,
yeah.
And then they were unable to reach verdicts for allegations for Jane Doe Number 3 and 4.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because...
Boy, he had a type, didn't he?
That's just their placeholder. That's their placeholder name.
Man, wouldn't they catch on after a while? I mean, he now is in prison for life.
Yeah.
He already was in prison until he was going to die, but now it's even extra years of life.
Yes. So for those 3 guilty counts that he that were handed down in December, today he was...
Stop. Not that count.
Oh. Today he was sentenced to 16 years in prison, and that will be added to the 23 years that he is being served after his New York trial. So 39 years behind bars, and he's already 70.
Yeah.
So, yes, he is going to die in prison.
I don't know.
He did, he appeared in his wheelchair.
Yeah, fake.
And
he's not using the walker with the tennis balls anymore?
No.
No, now he's relegated to fake wheelchair.
And he did speak during the hearing, during the sentencing hearing. He proclaimed his innocence.
I am innocent.
Accusing Jane Doe Number 1 of being an actress.
As JFK?
He said Jane Doe is an...
I am not a crook.
An actress who can turn on the tears. And he also asked the jury, please don't sentence me to life in prison. I don't deserve it. There are so many things wrong with this case.
Deserveth.
This is a setup.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then his spokesperson... said that the sentence was cruel given his age and health conditions.
Oh, God, just die. So,
jeez.
Why?
You're not a judge material.
As someone who...
Listen more at church.
Is someone... What? Is someone who didn't go to law school for very
church
long...
Church sucks.
How is it that Harvey Weinstein... And I'm so happy. Let's just... I'm the guy that's happy about this.
Okay.
But why is Bill Cosby able to roam free?
No
like,
idea.
Like, what happened... Where did we go wrong in the legal system to allow that guy free reign over humanity in his waning years?
Well, they made a deal with Bill Cosby that they went back on. I think that's why he was released.
Like a technicality of
no,
sorts?
No, it was like the... I'm not getting this exactly right, but it's like the prosecution said, we'll make a deal where if you testify in this case, it was a civil case, I think, at the time, truthfully, then we won't prosecute you criminally. And he accepted that deal and testified, and then they went back on it and said, now we're going to prosecute you for the stuff that you admitted to in that civil trial.
Okay.
And so I think the judge found that that was improper and then threw out his conviction.
By the way, Corby, the spokesperson for Harvey Weinstein has a message for you since you're celebrating this verdict. Mm-hmm. They said, I hope no one who is pleased with this is ever caught on the wrong side of cancel culture while hopelessly and voicelessly proclaiming their innocence.
Yeah, good is stuff, cancel Corby. Culture really the proper terminology to use when you've raped about 50 people? Like that, how can you be canceled?
It's a bit of a catch-all.
Most rapists, when they're caught and convicted and prosecuted, there's never been a correlation with canceling.
Well, he's saying that these were more murky sexual transactions.
Right, because everybody wanted to have sex with him.
Yeah, he said Jane Doe was a romantic relationship.
They weren't having sex with him in exchange for having sex with him. His argument is that they were involved, because some of these women were in relationships with him for 15 years, I think.
Right. That they knew the drill, that they were giving him favors and he was going to help out their career.
He's trying to claim that it's consensual and transactional.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and he's saying that cancel culture, which is such a, we need to just come up with a new term because everyone disagrees on what that means.
Let's say woke.
Woke culture.
Oh, God.
Speaking of cancel culture.
Can we please just fast forward about 20 years when the earth is burning up?
Right. Just to get away from woke.
Yes.
Have you heard the controversy, Gordon, about the edits to Roald Dahl's collection?
I have.
First off, I just wish at some point early on in his life that he would have changed his name.
Yeah, he needed to add like an N in there somewhere, like a Ronald or something.
Yeah, let's just go with Ronald.
Okay.
Ronald Dahl, who of course wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
and
BFG. That's not that great.
BFG.
Oh.
And James and the Giant Peach. So his publisher, Penguin Random House, and he's dead, but his publisher has edited his books to be more inclusive, to go woke.
Yes, he's dead.
So
say that.
In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Augustus Gloop is now, instead of being enormously fat, is just enormous. In what? James and the Giant Peach, the cloud men are now cloud people. In the BFG, the giants now eat people instead of men, women, and children, because we can't gender the victims of the giant.
Yep.
Yeah, Gordon.
And then other changes, they've deleted words like fat, ugly, black, white, and any references to mental illness as mad or crazy. And they've also removed references to specific genders.
Now, is this...
Are you happy?
Yeah,
why,
Gordon, are you happy?
You finally won.
Yeah, progress.
You finally won, Gordon.
I am happy with progress.
So this was...
I can't wait till, because there'll be the next evolution of this, is then we're going to talk about how there's erasure of these things afterwards. First, we're going to get mad that they were in there. Then we're going to get mad that they were taken out. And then we'll get mad about something else afterwards.
This was done at the behest of the family, or you meant the publishing company?
No, this is the publishing company took it upon themselves for the most recent additions to make these changes.
But they had to have permission of the estate.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't have a problem with this as a legal matter. It's the people who legally own it changed it, and that's within their rights to do it.
Yeah, they said the books were written many years ago, so we regularly review the language to ensure it can be continued to be enjoyed by all today.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to look at Huck Finn at all?
You know who has a problem with it?
That would be the estate, though. Right?
Yeah. Salman Rushdie.
There's a lot of writers that have problems with this.
Rushdie, of course, had his satanic verses banned in Islamic countries and ended up finally getting attacked and almost killed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's missing an eye. And but so he can only read half of these changes they made to Roald Dahl's books.
But he said on Twitter,
"That isn't how it works."
Ronald Dahl was no angel, but this is absurd censorship. Puffin Books and the Dahl Estate should be ashamed.
Puffin Books?
I guess that's the...
Yeah, it's the children's imprint of Penguin,
yeah.
I think.
Have you ever heard of a Roald before?
Never.
Nope.
There's a character in Letterkenny named Roald.
Really?
And I had never heard it otherwise. I figured they made it up.
Did he write Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as well? Did you mention that one?
I don't know.
Have
it's
you seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang like in the last 40 years?
Yes. And
I'm recording it as we speak.
The whole last half of the movie needs to be edited out.
Too long?
Yeah, it's just like it goes off the rails, and they have this real creepy child catcher character.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember seeing that movie as a kid and probably liking it because it was you liked everything as a kid.
I tried to rent it a few years ago, and I accidentally grabbed an adult title that was very similar.
Which one?
Named.
Which one?
Last two words were the same.
Uh-huh. First one were...
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
A little more...
The first
L-based
word.
Four-pointer.
Yes, it dropped an
four
H
pointer.
On me.
Co-written by Roald Dahl.
You sat around with your mom and dad at Christmas.
Let's watch this old kid show that I remember.
Oh, my God!
But,
so, so it was...
What?
Yes, it was, Dave.
It
no,
was like
no,
this.
No, no.
If the C is still there,
C,
what is
the
that? H was dropped out and an
L.
What sort of
charades? Oh, okay. I was thinking up tops
what
rather than.
What charades are you doing here?
We have to push them together
okay,
right,
David,
to
thanks.
Bang bang.
Yeah.
And I can you see the wheels in motion too because there's a pause.
Yeah.
And he's
kind of trying to figure it out.
He moves slow.
David.
That's why I'm Vice Gordon.
That's right.
Speaking of Cocaine Bear, which you are screening this evening
right
here at the Alamo, Elizabeth Banks says that she, as a female action director, was discriminated against, but that...
The writer, Elizabeth Banks?
The director.
The director.
Girl's Guide to Hunting and Fishing?
No, completely different human being. The great Elizabeth Banks, the
but
director.
But the late Ray Liotta gave her confidence
that's Melissa Banks,
to make the movie.
Okay, good for Ray Liotta.
Yeah, so he's of course most famous for being Henry Hill in Goodfellas, and he is the cocaine trafficking crime boss in Cocaine Bear.
He always creeped me out,
oh boy.
And so,
no offense to his dead body,
we had him on live one time.
You did?
Yes, and it was amazing. He's
when?
Friends. So, the
not recently,
Rafael Palmero and his wife Lynn were friends with the Liottas.
Okay.
I know it doesn't make any sense. Somehow I think the wives were friends, and then Raphael and Ray became friends. And so Ray came in town. This was in the early 2000s, and we did a broadcast out from the stadium, and Ray came out and sat in. And for some reason, Mike wasn't there. It was just me. And Ray was there for an hour and a half. We did an hour and a half with Ray Liotta. It
was Rafi
awesome.
Sitting in too?
Rafi, no, I think Rafi was. He's still been playing. Yeah, it was bizarre.
So just you're sitting there with Ray Liotta doing a show.
Uh-huh.
I'm insane now.
I know.
Was it freaky?
Those eyes.
Those, what is it, White Walker eyes that he had, like the Ice King.
Incredibly kind man, though. Like, so kind.
I listened that day.
Did you?
It was delightful.
Ray Liotta.
I listened to The Ticket.
Well, Elizabeth Banks, she co-starred with him in a film in 2011 called The Details.
Corby was
so she knew him.
Okay.
And when she was linked with the project with Cocaine Bear, she reached out to him about coming on to the film. And so he read it, and he was really excited to do it. She said he came very joyfully to this project, very game. Actually, after he read the script, he asked for more jokes for his character, and that he was fully committed from minute one and everything, from the wig he wore to the clothes. He was game for everything. And so, but she said
he knew it'd be his last.
I don't think he knew that.
Oh,
but she said that having him on board really helped make this movie get done, because she wanted to make a big movie with lots of action and CGI, a very masculine project. And she was told by people in Hollywood, "I don't know if you can direct this kind of movie because I don't know if male actors will follow you." And she said, "Well, when
Why would male actors follow her?
Because it's a." You know, it's an action movie, and you need a strong, macho voice behind the camera, I guess.
Are you guys ready?
That's so
okay.
Stupid.
Roll action. Sound. Cue the bear. And
I always question that when people say, make this claim that they wouldn't follow a woman.
She's probably overselling, but she said when Henry Hill follows you, you can make anything you want. So okay. The fact that he all was right. part of the movie helped make it happen. And that's your E-News.
518. Is the student of E-News. Every Thursday, we get together. The old Grant.
Ah, yes.
Gordon has joined us live at the Alamo because he's a good teammate.
Committed.
He really is. So here we are with our little rant revival.
So yesterday, Bob, you were gone, and Davey did
Thank you for knowing that.
Segment, not committed.
That's right. He quit yesterday. Mm-hmm. Came back.
Changed my mind.
Davey did a segment on Community Quick Hits concerning a restaurant that's reopening here in Dallas. And I don't know if you mentioned this during Muse in the News.
Was this a steak and ale story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did y'all talk about it this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know where you guys were in terms of going out to eat when you were kids, because
we did not grow up with your wealth.
Well, let me just say, growing up, as I established yesterday, upper middle class. The end. We never went out to eat. If we went out to eat, it was
at... Weren't you always eating at the club?
No, we weren't eating at the club. We would go out to eat, though, to fast food restaurants.
Uh-huh.
That was like going out. And then, you know, there would be a spare Mexican food joint that we would go to every now and then. Maybe a catfish place that we would go to once a month. But my mom cooked 6 out of 7 nights. And I just feel like that was just kind of the norm back then. I didn't know a lot of people that went
out
to eat.
Your dad forced her to.
Yeah, I mean, she was chained to the kitchen.
Well, this seems to be revisionist history, but I'm not
sure. Please, Hal, unhook me from the radiator. I'm tired of cooking your food.
Oh, now your accent seems
my mother.
Weird to me.
It's my mother. I can imitate my own mother.
Okay.
So.
Slipped through that one.
Wow.
Got out of that tackle.
But there was
there's a shoulder dip there. I just missed him.
There was that window when you start recognizing that there are other restaurants in and about the area that you could become interested in, but you think to yourself, there's no way I'm ever going to go there. And I grew up in Arlington, okay? I grew up in gritty Arlington.
Oh, please.
Interlocking.
Yes. The nicest neighborhood in Arlington at the time.
You what? Did not grow up in gritty Arlington.
Make sure to lock your DFW. Doors at night.
Don't make me out to be a Murdoch.
You are a Murdoch. Believe me.
You
there will be a trial.
You plowed a boat into a bridge on that canal.
I was out there with Papaw. And
I was out there. It was me and Bust and Pawpaw and T-Dad. And I think Crawdad Johnny was there with us, too.
I watched part of his testimony today.
But my uncle took me to Steak and Ale. And I told this story yesterday for my birthday. He came up from New Braunfels. He was one of those relatives that he didn't have kids of his own. So he treated me and my sister.
Mastectomy?
No. Just he and his wife never had
paid
kids.
For abortions?
Gordon. I don't know if that's the route they took either. But they treated us very well. And so they're like, look, let's not... For your birthday, let's not go to Wendy's. I'm going to take you to Steak and Ale.
Okay.
And just the words Steak and Ale
sounds so fancy.
Was the most magical thing I think I'd ever heard of. And so, did you ever go there
to Steak and Ale?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did.
Did you? I mean, as a young adult,
I thought it was Steak and Fail.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my hot take.
Was it? I mean, obviously, looking at it now.
Did you put on a nice shirt for
oh,
your
yeah.
birthday?
Put a nice golf shirt on. Steak and Ale was it's not thought of in the same vein as the other elite steakhouses in Dallas.
Yeah.
It's a medium, I don't even know what you would call it. Price-wise.
It's a more affordable steak.
It was like the Saltgrass or Outback of its day.
A mid-major.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But at the time, I didn't know that.
Right.
And I thought if you went there...
You thought Wendy's was a nice restaurant.
Right. And so for y'all growing up, what was a restaurant like that for you that you thought...
Red Lobster.
You would never... Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. That was Dad got a promotion. Red Lobster. You know what?
Did you go out to eat very much?
No. I remember... I remember the buzz in the house amongst the kids if McDonald's was a possibility.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a holiday, because unofficial holiday, that we were going to McDonald's.
You ate 95% of your meals at home.
At least, with a tall glass of milk with each meal.
God, y'all were so lucky.
Were you the same way?
Yeah, I think we probably went out to eat maybe two or three times a year, and it was always to Chi-Chi's by Northeast Mall.
Two or three times a year.
Dude, we were probably less than that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Now, when you say out to eat, is it like what Dave was saying, to Chi-Chi's, or would you go get fast food somewhere?
We never got fast
food. We hardly ever got fast food either. I think that we may have had... I remember one time we tried McDonald's, and I didn't like it, because at the time it was like before McDonald's would even alter their burgers for you. Like, you couldn't
right.
No pickles on that, or no mustard. You couldn't... It was like, no, they come out
and
one way.
And with the onions, the little diced onions, and you're like... Ugh!
Right. No, when we went out to eat, the only place we went to, it seemed like, was Western Sizzlin'.
Yeah, and that's one of the steak and ale type places.
Was that a buffet?
Yes, it was.
I think it may have had a buffet option. But I used to order what I think was the number 13 Stagecoach, which was just like chop steak or something.
And they would have piles of steak at the buffet line at the Sizzler.
Soaking in the water.
Yeah, or Western Sizzlin'. And again, not knowing what a steakhouse was, because there was no concept of that whatsoever in my world at all. I thought that was what a steakhouse really was.
Yeah, there's one more that now pops in my head. It wasn't just McDonald's. Once in a while, and this was usually like vacation, Dad would take us to Shakey's. Did you guys have Shakey's here?
Mm-mm. Is that a pizza place?
Yeah.
Shakey's Pizza? Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and... that was pretty mind-blowing when they would bring a giant pizza to the middle of the table.
Yeah, and it was so good.
And you're just a kid, and you just can't believe that there's a video game over there in the corner.
Right.
Like, you could go play Pac-Man, maybe, if you could get a quarter out of your parents. But, yeah, with the pizza, and then, like, a pitcher of Coke.
Right.
And we were eating like kings that night.
So what happened to make things flip in our world where...
laziness?
Where a meal at home is as special as a meal.
Seriously.
Yeah, I would love to see the average number of restaurant-based meals per American by year. That would be fascinating.
Now, there's obviously the line that's drawn in the sand from a money standpoint for half the world, but still, I feel like...
But that doesn't apply to you, so...
No.
You're fine. Why waste time talking about that?
Right.
Yeah, if you can't afford to go to a restaurant for dinner tonight, just turn off your radio.
Yeah.
God.
Hello.
That's the way Corby thinks.
No, it's not. Okay, all right. That's him. Exactly what we just described.
Love the quick surrender.
Now, the other treat was when we would take family road trips in the summer.
We got to have breakfast
at IHOP.
Yeah.
Or Denny's, or, you know.
So magical.
Howard Johnson's. Mm-hmm. And that was such a treat.
Yeah.
Or did you go to Stuckey's on the road?
Yes.
Yeah. That was huge, too.
It was usually involved a bunch of begging, and we never got anything, though.
Yeah. You went in there, and you couldn't get any candy or anything?
No, and like my dad would get the saltwater taffy, which I didn't like. So it would just be candy that he enjoyed.
My mom would pack all the snacks for the trip when we left.
Uh-huh.
So there was getting stuff at the gas station.
Now, wait, I do remember at Stuckey's, did they used to sell something called like a pecan log or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember trying that and thinking that was good. So we did try that.
There's two other variations of the McDonald's lifestyle that, you know, because in the 80s, I'm telling you, that was such a big deal for a little kid to finally get to go to McDonald's. And, you know, they'd have the Monopoly game maybe in the mid-80s. I don't know when that started. But my wife has two stories she always talks about from her dad who passed away. But he was the best. And they had six kids. It was like the Brady Bunch, three boys, three girls. And every time they would go, which wasn't often, he would go to the drive-thru and he would order 8 quarter pounders and 8 medium Cokes and 8 medium fries or whatever. Like,
Everybody ate the same thing.
There's there's just no negotiating in the car on, okay, so what do you want? Okay, you don't know I'm pickles. Okay, so what do you... And it turns into, like, even to this day, when you have to order, when
it's
you're the
ridiculous.
Point man, it's just so
when
many,
you're ordering from, like, three different DoorDash restaurants
just,
because
oh
your
God.
Kids want
yes.
this and they want that.
Yes, that's such a beating. Okay. And then my other favorite story was when... They would get out of church, and it was like April Fool's, and so he thought he would goof on his family with a trip through the parking lot and just tell them that he's looking for a spot here at McDonald's so we can all go get lunch, and I can't find one, and all the kids in the back are, Dad, there's a spot right here. I don't see it.
He keeps cruel.
And he took him home, and he did April Fool's, and he couldn't stop laughing. And that always,
joke I've ever heard.
That's the best joke.
So was post-church, did you guys go? Because we would go to Luby's a lot post-church, and that was another meal that – I hated because it was so adult oriented, you know,
just
like
olds in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was just sad. And a lot of people smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee while they're This is what I could never wrap my head around either, was the amount of old people. And again, old people was probably post 50 when I was a kid. But I would see them in Luby's eating a chicken fried steak, but their drink was coffee.
Yeah. It's very strange.
That still goes on.
They would be smoking, eating chicken fried steak, and drinking coffee at the same time.
Coffee
at 10 a.m. Coffee was their beverage for their dinner.
And it made me think that I think my grandparents were certainly this way on my dad's side, where they drank coffee all day.
Yeah,
it never stopped.
I don't know when that changed. I was just this is an odd note, but I was just watching Leave It to Beaver the other night. I just started on season one, episode one.
Beaver.
And
no spoilers, please.
Yeah, at the end of dinner, Hugh Beaumont's drinking coffee, and I'm thinking, is that not weird? Did we not know about caffeine back then? That this interrupts your sleep at night?
I think that you drink
We didn't know that cigarettes were bad for you.
So yeah, I guess not.
We didn't know anything.
We didn't know seatbelts were a good idea.
You drank it so much, though, it just didn't do anything. It never affected
it
you.
It does. It always affects you. Even the people that say that caffeine doesn't affect them, it affects them. And they're not aware of the effects, though.
Yeah, it probably was weaker coffee back then. Just like weed wasn't strong back then.
A lot of things are different back then.
I was always relegated.
Miss Cleaver had to wear a pillow 8 days out of the month between her legs.
God. What?
And the all-day coffee drinker, it's generally black coffee.
Yeah.
You don't add anything to it because that's not coffee anymore.
You think you're doing it a healthy way. But Luby's, I was always relegated to fried fish. It was the only thing that I thought looked appetizing as a kid, whatever form of macaroni and cheese they had. Did you guys do Luby's very much?
Never.
No.
Are you serious? Wyatt's?
That
any
was,
of the cafeterias?
Was, no.
It was Jell-O stuff.
No, it wasn't. It
Piccadilly.
Was poor as poor.
Did your caddy eat with you?
No, we didn't let him out of the club.
Jeez.
My caddy.
Bring him some leftover okra.
Yeah. Here's some fried okra left over.
Here, Bill.
Corby chewed on some of it. He spit it out. He didn't like it.
He hated
here,
it.
You can
but he
have
said
it.
You would love it. And he knew you were hungry.
Such a jerk.
Me?
Yes.
He brought it up.
Why did you do that to your caddy?
just carried for a full round, a full loop.
Yeah, you were starving.
Old chewed up okra.
He sucked all the breading off and just left the okra in there.
Corbin likes the breading. He don't like the inside here. You can have the inside. It's got vitamins.
A little baggies.
But I'm real proud. Like, here.
Corby, open your hand. Show him what you got. Look at there. Corby brought you five okra.
It's in his cargoes.
Five.
Sweaty kid hand.
He's been carrying around in there saying he's saving them for you.
Who are you?
I'm Corby's mama.
Oh, my God. All right. Dave, Grape Fest is next.
Yes, and we are going to unveil some new ticket promos.
Oh,
the ticket.
I Queef. Would make love make to myself. All right, it is Ty. That's Gordon Keith with us here for the Rant Revival. It is 5:40 on the ticket. I would go insane.
No, just oh, is that the it. Short,
yeah,
the short one,
the short version,
the shorty,
short
okay.
one.
Thank you, thank you. So for today's Grape Fest, this is a collaborative effort between myself and Ham and Mino.
Oh, that's cute.
It's best friends.
It is a collab. And what inspired this is because all of us at the station have been addicted to the earworm Burger King commercials, like most everyone. They've been omnipresent all throughout the football season. And then they had such a good run, and they were so top of mind that they didn't even bother buying a Super Bowl ad.
Pretty baller.
That instead of spending the $7 million to put an ad during the game, they did ads leading up to the game, and they promoted the fact that they were releasing karaoke versions of the jingle so people could make their own Burger King promos. And here is the spot that they ran.
Big game, we skipped the big game because the BK memes have been insane. Y'all really do it better than we do, so we took the night off to give the song to you.
BK, have it your way.
So they released it on Spotify and on TikTok, and so the three of us decided that we should take this opportunity to make some ticket promos.
Yes.
Because it's a very recognizable jingle. Everybody loves it. It's very easy to write stuff to. And so I think first we have, this is just for the station in general, right, Ham?
Yeah, I wanted to make a generic one that we could just use for anything, really.
Okay, let's play this one.
Chubb and Jude's and Gordon Keith, Norman Donnie, Oskeet Skeet, DJ Crushin' Tickers, and Tyler Samso, Blake and Jake and Dan McDowell, Bob and Corby's mouth so foul, Dave and Dave, Ty and Ham, wrap up the crew. Ticket, KTCK, Ticket, KTCK.
All right.
It's all of us.
That seems useful.
That's beautiful.
All right. So,
like the songbird.
So that's kind of the bar. That's where we're starting things. Now, where did you take it, Mino?
So I have some new opens for our segments. Let's start out with one that we might hear at 4:50 on weekdays.
Marvel superhero Star Wars, Bob just wants to talk about sports. Who is Pete Davidson dating? Find out today. It's E! News. Radikowski's big boobs. Here's Dave!
I think it fits. You hit all the notes on the bingo card.
Yes.
Truly, the big five.
I've got another one we might hear at this exact time next week.
Davey's farts are wet and dirty every Thursday at 5:30. Irving Kerr says, make love to me, no more Dingu. It's Grape Fest. Painful doo-doos. Hemorrhoids!
Hey, I like that.
Is it the hemorrhoids? It's fitting.
I like that one.
No one's ever
shouted in glee.
It felt really weird saying hemorrhoids into
like
a
the
microphone.
Freeze frame at the end of a preparation yes. H ad.
I felt weird doing that one, but not as weird as this next one. So this is something I learned about Dave from our time together in Wisconsin. I didn't know this about Dave. It's something about his personality.
Penis, 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 penis. To Dave, everything looks like a penis. Clouds, potatoes, worms, and cheeses all look the same. C-K. Wieners all day. They're big.
Thank you for beeping
that. Were you aware of this?
What?
Like, this new Dave incarnation of we would be driving, we would be walking, we would be looking around whatever there was to see. Everything was a penis.
Everywhere he looked.
Everywhere. There's a little penis. There's a
well, like we were driving into Green Bay, and we were crossing over a body of water, and we were like, "What is this?" And so I pull up my map, and I'm looking to see what river this is or whatever, and then I zoom out, and I was like, "Did you guys ever notice that Lake Michigan looks like a flaccid penis?"
And then it just went.
And it does.
It just went from there.
Does.
I can't help it.
Don't shake your head.
You can help it. You're too old for that. You're like your Seth Rogen in Superbad or whatever.
I don't draw them.
You really
usually.
He could not handle silos at all.
Oh, my God.
There were so, many silo, like, penis families on farms.
Daddy
penis,
the baby one.
Grandpa penis. Baby penis.
Oh.
Well. Yeah. Wow. Do you have one more?
Yeah, I've got one more. Those were my serious ones. This last one is just stupid.
That's the dumbest
thing. God, look at Corby.
The dumbest thing that's ever come through this
Oh, man. Wow, I applaud your editing.
Thank you.
That
word catching on way too much.
Seriously.
Or not enough.
Don't you like the fact, though, that now it's a rallying chant?
Yeah, yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
To make somebody do something.
Yeah, no matter what it is that you want them to do, you just start chanting that.
The P1s were chanting that at the end of the Time Wasters because they wanted an encore. this is all we have, but thank you.
That's
so
the best.
Confusing.
We don't know any more songs.
Okay, so I have, let's see, I have five of these. Yeah. So the first one, this is much like Ham's first one. So there's a 30-second jingle and a 15-second jingle. So I use the 30-second jingle to do a Hardline promo.
Okay. Oh, good.
So let's hear that. Colby, Cobby, Cooby, Corny, hot Latinas make Bob horny. When Dave farts, he is recording the woke line, some say. Ticket tickers with Ty Walker, if Pinkhead Tandy's Ham would f*** her. Mino's back has many stalkers, not sure he's gay. The hard line, 3-7 today, 5.0. This is the way. Good dudes!
Aww. Yeah, you pitched it down, kind of like you did View to a Kill. It sounds like you're singing lower.
Yeah, I can't sing anymore. I don't have
anymore.
Yeah,
I can't sing well ever, but I can't sing any above my speaking voice.
That's why he was brought on board in the first place, was his singing prowess. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that.
I know. It's unfortunate that I've lost that gift.
You led with that on your resume, and then it was false advertising.
I'm an awesome singer.
You know.
Special skills. Have you tried post-beard?
Huh?
Maybe the beard was holding you back. Maybe
Maybe I should re-record these.
I think you look more like Ted Cruz without the beard.
Shut up.
It's the only reason he shaved.
I also did an E! News Open. I think there might be some shared content, but let's see. Kim and Kanye, Caitlyn Jenner, Oscars, Emmys, all the winners. Pete Davidson's giant wiener. What's new today? It's E! News. Entertainment news for you. Go Dave!
Wow.
Good day.
Great minds.
Something awesome about weirdly androgynous you encouraging you.
Right?
Dave.
All right, how
looking in the mirror.
How about community quick hits? Let's see what that sounds like. Scandals, murders, escape creatures, students that have sex with teachers, interesting local features happening today. Community quick hits, people, they're screwed. If you make community quick hits, you are generally screwed.
It's a bad day.
Bad day.
News in the news, any of that, you want to stay away from it.
Okay.
You're screwed.
These last two, I don't know that we will find a use for, but I don't know. We'll listen to them anyway. Johnson, Pfizer, and Moderna. Fauci, butt boys want them in ya. Bill Gates hacked your DNA so you will obey their vaccines. DeMar Hamlin's dead. You fools!
God almighty.
Again, I don't know when we can use that.
That's
but
never been said before in a hook.
Huh. DeMar Hamlin's dead.
And wow. Then, you know, I had to do one about my farts. Ripped like a cow who's on a toilet. Three nasty options, splat, fat, and all wet, all on his phone. Wait, that can't be right. Just confirmed he blew ass in the mic. Dave's farts, they chase COVID away.
Oh, hey,
air bathroom.
They chase COVID away.
Uh-huh. That's why I recorded them to chase COVID away.
They killed DeMar Hamlin.
Would you have accepted the loving gift of Dave releasing
Give
to avoid
COVID.
You would take COVID?
Give me COVID. Yes.
If he was just, he had to just sit there.
I'll be the next DeMar Hamlin.
So like that's the new vaccine is Dave?
Yeah, Dave's.
You have to.
Yeah, he's like
give him your arm.
He's like the Last of Us girl. You know?
No, just
we're he's our Ellie.
Yeah,
just listening to them, and laughing.
Oh.
Kills the virus.
Okay.
DeMar Hamlin's dead. You fools.
Well, that's awesome.
And that's your Great Fest.
That is awesome, Great Fest. All right. Limo Draft House in Lake Highlands in preparation for the big movie screening of Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear, the movie that I really hope is fun. Because
it
looks like a blast.
You know, and it's got that guy in it, the IKEA guy. You ever seen his videos?
Oh, yes. Yeah, disgruntled worker.
Disgruntled worker guy.
I love that
funny.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Those came out. I watched the whole supercut of all of those together, and I thought that guy was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a really good cast, and it looks fun at the very least. So there are a couple of seats left here in Lake Highlands, like three. And if you go to drafthouse.com/DFW, click on the ticket link and Lake Highlands, you'll find it. Dan and Jake have a screening of it in Las Colinas, and I believe they are sold out except for the first row. So we got a lot of people. We got about 400 P1s that are going to be descending upon local Alamos to watch Cocaine Bear tonight. You guys, well, first off, we were in break and we were talking about Dave and how much you look like Ted Cruz and how he should
it
embrace
it.
It
is freaky, isn't it?
It's one of the weirdest things ever.
Look at him. And what is wrong with you?
And then you shaved it off to run from it, and it took the P1s 1 second to find a perfectly
fresh-shaven
Ted Cruz.
It's not that bad, Dave. He's a senator. I mean, that's an accomplished person.
I'm not even going to dignify it.
Why?
He may be president one day.
Yes.
There is no way.
And you could be like his doppelganger.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. I can get lots and lots
his
of
body
work
double.
As you do like at a, birthday yeah parties. And
I'll
stuff
be his Vice Gordon.
Yes, you'll be Ted Cruz's Vice Gordon.
Very.
I just need a moment.
Underrated film though, based on a presidential doppelganger.
Dave.
Yes, the yeah Kevin Kline movie. That was Dave an awesome movie.
Yeah,
and then he ends up banging Sigourney Weaver.
Hey,
the
they
first
end
lady
up hey falling
spoiler
in love and
falling
having
in
all
love is
called love.
Yes, yeah, having marital you relations with one another.
You and Ted Cruz may call it banging, but
so I was listening to
you
guys.
You ever role play? You ever role play Ted Cruz?
No.
God, he really is sensitive about this. We should probably stop. I can't tell whether you're joking or not.
Yeah, Marissa's Pelosi, and I'm Ted Cruz. And she's taking me
to
task.
We got a little friction here, don't we, big boy?
That's your Pelosi?
Yeah.
Huh.
Somebody done run in my house and knock Paul in the face with a hammer.
I declare,
it's time for you and me, Senator Cruz. I declare, you're giving me the vapors.
I want her superimposed on Nancy Pelosi's face.
And she's like fanning herself.
Yeah. Oh, Senator Cruz.
I do declare
you again.
Isn't Jake obsessed with Nancy Pelosi's
up tops? Yeah.
Yeah,
we all are.
Her big gnats.
We all are. The old photos of Nancy Pelosi are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Four-pointer.
The current are great.
So, see, Dave, you shouldn't feel that bad.
Go we Dave. Lost
Dave.
Thank you.
Dave. So you guys were talking yes. about this the other day.
We were.
And we were going to piggyback off it yesterday, but we got into a fun with country music bit that we couldn't get out of. By the way, have you seen that
bit?
Latest incarnation of fun with country music that was floating around the internet yesterday?
That was amazing.
Katie Noel, for those who don't know, and I think it's still on the podcast up there. The song is Southern.
Bit.
But
some P1s were circulating pics from her OnlyFans on Twitter earlier today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And?
Oh, is that who that was? Someone sent that to me, and it was a woman who she had tattoos on the upper part of her body, but she was completely nude.
Did she have dark hair in those photos or blonde?
I think it, like was dark
dark
hair.
Lighting.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Because she's blonde,
dark,
in those, blonde in those videos.
She's a country music artist?
Yeah. Barely.
As, by definition, probably, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
But she's full blown on OnlyFans. I mean, she shows you everything.
I don't know. I've not been on there before. I've never typed in the words OnlyFans before on anything.
It auto loads for you.
Uh huh. I don't have to type it. I just stare at the bar.
It knows exactly what Daddy wants.
Hello, Mr. Davidson.
Daddy.
Welcome back, Mr. Davidson.
Greetings, Professor Davidson.
How are you? God, that voice.
That's
so
a great voice. I just watched that again recently.
Holds up.
War Games, yeah.
Yeah, holds up. So you guys were talking about kids playing baseball, growing up playing baseball. George and Craig were focusing it on baseball. It could be any sport, though, and how you don't see kids doing it much anymore in the local neighborhoods. And it may be different for me, and I'm basing it on, you know, my childhood versus what I see now in my neighborhood, which is right here. And my neighborhood was 100% all the time filled with kids doing exactly that. At all times during the summer, after school, it was pickup football, it was pickup basketball, it was pickup baseball. It was all of it. And I know it goes on to a certain degree because my kids still play basketball with their friends. But I don't think in my 17 years of living in a, kind of a suburban area, that I've seen one pickup baseball game being played, maybe one or two semi-organized football games in our neighborhood park, which is right by my house. Never. It just doesn't happen. And there are kids everywhere. It's not for lack of children.
What was their conclusion?
Their conclusion was that it's something that is gone forever and will never come back. And they kind of based it on not so much that kids aren't interested, but they tend to lose interest quicker in these sports because of specialization.
Yeah. We definitely keep them busier, I think. I feel like...
Yeah, there's a lot more organized activities now.
It's normal to just have their days planned out at a much higher level. I mean, again, to go back to what we were talking about with restaurants or eating at a restaurant as a kid. Now, look back at your summer vacation compared to even your kids' summer vacation, where it's 2 weeks at this camp, and then they're going to this camp, and then they're going on vacation. And that idle time of 10 or 12 weeks of what we used to believe summer was,
yeah,
they have it, but it's pre-planned. It's mapped out for them, right?
Yeah, I think so, to a certain degree, but... And again, you know, TV, video games, all that crap has changed a lot of
that's
things.
That's big, too, of course.
Yeah, but... Just getting up in the morning. I remember getting up in the morning and getting on my bike, riding to my friend's house. And then, you know, it wasn't like we were playing sports all day. We'd be like, hey, let's go in the field and build a bike ramp. And you would spend all day doing something like that. And it sounds almost lame right now to say something like that, but it was a blast, like, doing it. And you felt, like, super accomplished in the end. There's not one kid out there that's doing stuff like that right now.
Do kids still build forts?
I think there's some of that. I think in my neighborhood, I do witness a two-on-two game in the driveway periodically with basketball.
Yeah, basketball is kind of remained alive in the pickups area, I think, more so. You ever see baseball?
No.
I never see baseball.
But I also don't see a park with tons of space that I used to have.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Do you see that? Do you see kids playing baseball where you live?
No.
No. I don't either.
Yeah, baseball just, for whatever reason, baseball is not quite the fun activity with your friends.
And to play a real game, that's a lot of kids to round up.
I know. Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of kids. It's too many rules.
Well, and George would say that he played baseball for 7-8 hours a day or whatever, which I question that. But we played a lot of like wiffle ball, you know, baseball junior-y type games.
Right.
Just throwing the ball around or something.
Yeah, we weren't playing like legitimate literal baseball.
Yeah, we would play home run derby with a tennis ball.
Yes. Yeah, it was stuff like that. So it was baseball connected, but it was never full on a game of baseball.
Yeah, and then there's no doubt that our generation has regimented sports into the appointment space rather than the casual impromptu, let's round up some kids. Like, they, at 7 years old, they're on a team, they practice 2 times a week, and then they'll play their games, and they get it out of their system. In our regimented, here's how kids should approach sports.
Yeah.
Then when they're twice that age, they're 14 now. Man, to hear some of these 80-game seasons and just all, you know, and
it's incredible.
And travel this and these massive tournaments in every sport that are in Dallas alone where kids are coming from 40 different states for volleyball and hockey and baseball and soccer.
Cheerleading. All of it.
On and on and on it goes. I mean, I think one of the victims is the neighborhood impromptu, let's go do sports, right?
I think so.
And then what's left is the pool.
Yeah.
So I think I do think that goes on because I witnessed it in backyard is that,
for sure,
you know, the neighborhood kids would show up and all, because it's so blasted hot, that's the one thing they don't mind over video games in the summer.
Yeah, or the country club pool.
Which Corby went to.
That was nice.
With, what's her name, Peppercorn.
My Wendy, caddy would clean Wendy. The pool, too. So
my caddy's Peppercorn. Name was Peppercorn?
Hello, Peppercorn.
Where's my wedge?
Did you play baseball the longest of any sport growing up?
We played a lot of wiffle ball. And I think that it was pretty neck and neck with football.
When did you move here?
I moved here in right before 7th grade.
Okay.
So my prime playing years
were in Mississippi.
Were in Mississippi, yeah.
And so what did everybody do there? Same thing?
Football, wiffle ball,
baseball. Catching salamanders,
dip for crawdads.
Okay, now you guys got me back in time.
Did you whittle canoes out of tree trunks and stuff?
Whittle canoes out of tree trunks.
Did you intentionally lose... did you realize that your accent was over the top when you came here and you tried to shred it?
Yes. I did not want to have that accent anymore.
And so you made it, and I mean, like, first day of school when they were like, Mr. Keith or, you know, Gordon Keith.
Yeah, because you don't think
you sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
You don't think that you have an accent.
I'm over here, teacher.
I say that.
I say I'm here.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you, madam. I'm over here.
I beg your pardon.
The whole school is just turned around looking at you.
But I did have a thick accent.
You're all whites.
And I didn't dress like Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
The suspenders just gotta.
I'm over here.
But I tried to lose it. I don't know how long it took me to lose it, but I did.
What about your brother?
We all had thick accents.
I know, but none of you do now.
I know. It's, I think, so we have southern accents.
Yeah. But you don't have that Mississippi accent that's so thick.
Drawn out. I go back there, and it's still that accent cracks me up. Stacy, we're going to all meet at the food court.
Like that? I don't even remember when it was. It was a couple of years ago when you had audio of you talking to your mom when you were like 3.
So thick.
Or 4.
Yeah, the accent.
I mean, my God.
I know.
It's amazing.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am.
Oh, mama, I love you.
I love you.
But, yeah, I think, you know, with my kids, I can count on one hand the amount of times that they got in contact with neighborhood friends and said, let's go over here to the park, which is 1 block away, and let's play football or play baseball. It just... And, you know, you're all right. There's a million different reasons why it's not that way. And I'm not saying what we did was better, you know, when we were kids. But there was some sort of liberating feeling about just walking out of your house,
There was a lot of outdoor play back then. Like, we didn't do like football and wiffle ball, like I told you about, but we did a lot of fort building.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, hey, look at this. This tree fell down. Let's see if we can drag it to the other side of the creek. Just like pointless projects.
There's a lot of hide and go seek that we played in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, like we would use multiple houses as bases at night, and you would get all the kids over there. And I mean, it's just, again, it's a different world, and I don't want to be old man soundy, but man, I wouldn't trade what went on in my childhood for anything.
It was fun.
Yes, it was. It was an absolute blast.
But we did it. Like, we drove it out, unintentionally probably, but the idea that someone's going to abduct our kids if they go down the block. We don't know where they are. They have to have a phone. Don't climb in the tree. You're going to break your arm or something like that. Like, our parents fostered that by not caring what we were doing.
But isn't that weird? Because you think of, like, all the things that went on in the 70s with all the weird people that kind of became infamous.
It was the serial killer heyday in the 70s.
But, you know, still, our parents would be like, yeah,
so
go.
So many just, drifters.
I know.
We'll see you leave the house at 7 in the morning and just come back for dinner.
I know.
And they wouldn't even worry about it. So why were they not concerned about us getting eaten alive by Son of Sam or whatever?
It's an overblown fear. Yeah, it's an overblown fear that we have because we live in a culture of fear now. And so we are overprotective and helicoptering. It's very strange. It doesn't make any sense. We don't want you to go outside because we're afraid something bad will happen to you. So here, stay indoors and stay on your phone where you can be bullied online. That's better for you.
Right. Stay on your phone, but get off your phone.
Yeah.
Yes. Not too much.
Here's a device to raise you. Good luck.
Here's your new parent.
Right.
This rectangle. Have at it.
You just depressed us all, Corby.
Way to go, Corby.
Man. Yeah.
That took a turn.
I know.
Yep. Your song.